We are here at the closing moments of the 2017 World Credit Union Conference. And look who we saved the best for last. Shazia Manas. How are you, Shazia?
I'm doing great. Thank you. And you did a wonderful job as an MC.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I had really fun. And
that's what we aim to do.
I really enjoyed.
We aim to do. Oh, well, thank you very much for that that little testimonial there. I appreciate that. Hey, let's talk about your presentation. We were just talking before the recording that it's kind of an offshoot of Susan Ettlinger's.
Yes.
So what exactly? And you kind of brought it home to credit unions, so which is really good because she talked big data and all that type of stuff on a higher level.
Yep.
You brought it home to credit unions.
So essentially, what can your data tell? So Susan did such a wonderful job setting the contextual premise of what's happening, and that analytics and data is a core global competitive advantage. You just have to learn, harness, master, and mature. What I did is talk a little bit about what it means to the credit unions, shared some use cases, talked about there's different semantics there, machine learning, AI, what does that really mean, what are some of the use cases and application, and then some takeaway, real pointers that everyone in the audience in some small or big degree can go back and move the needle, because it's truly about setting that intention and understanding where to start and how to kind of navigate, separate a lot of the noise from signal. I talked about that because there's a lot of data noise, deluge of data.
So is that like disseminating what's useful and what's not?
Yes. Nate Silver is actually talked about here. I'm actually reading his book right now, so that's where that idea came from. He is a very, he's an American statistician and does work in the political and sports field of projection and big data. And according to him, 99% of the data that are collected, this whole part of 44 zettabytes of data that we have, is unused, or we don't know how to use it, or we haven't found the right problems to use for. Doesn't mean that it will not be used. It's just not today there's any relevant way of leveraging those. So you have to know what is really, there's two types of data, signal, strong indicator, and then noise that just kind of distracts you. So how do you know
what's signal and what's noise?
Yeah, so you're not chasing noise, because that will only confuse you or distract you from the truth. But following the signal is where we can intelligently make decisions and can transform your business, and again, on end of the day, build relevant value for the members that you are serving, because that's what big data is all about, using it to drive decisions and actions.
Smart decisions.
So
how, I mean, I think a lot of credit unions here look at AI, look at machine learning, predictive, all that type of stuff, as science fiction, you know, when it's now it's science fact. And so how do you, I don't want to say convince, but how do you convey that this is important, and how do they get access to this type of stuff?
So I talk a little bit in my presentation. I try to kind of clarify. I mean, machine learning is essentially using statistician algorithm to take the back data, rear view data of historical data, and then programming to predict things that will happen with a reasonable statistical accuracy, as opposed to statisticians crunching a lot of those reports. You have computers do that and predict it through algorithm. And then AI, machine learning is actually a branch of AI, and where AI is essentially teaching computers to learn the human intelligence, right? There's ways you teach the computer, but you have to show it. One video I showed, this guy was actually trying to prevent this neighborhood cat turning his wife's flower garden into a kitty litter, right? So, but again, because he's an engineer and he understands the deep learning neural network, Susan talked about that. He showed a bunch of pictures to the computer to make him understand what is the difference between a cat versus raccoon. Then he then he kind of placed little stuffed toys, kitty, all around it. And the whole idea was, if the cat were to come, then the sensor would you know, initiate the sprinkler, and that would pretend, so anytime the cat would come. But it was a, you go through the first time when you start it, it's computer can only learn 30% of the times accurately the cat, but the longer it goes, it gets better at it, because it understands the difference between squirrel and cat and that kind of stuff. How do you do it? Well, it's not about the technology. That's the first thing I can harp you.
I think it scares a lot of people.
It does, and it is, should not be, because it's really not about the technology. The fintech community and the app-based type of solutions that are there, which are essentially means plug and play. You can consume it, and then you can over overlaying on top of whatever the channel you are. So I gave some use cases around call center and IVR at Co-op Financial Services. We did overlaying speech analytics on top of the IVR to understand certain correlation words that the callers are asking to be able to provide a better experience for the cardholder or sometimes even determine service-related issues. So for example, if a rep is saying, I don't know, a lot of transferring calls, those words lead to longer call time and abandoned call time. And then with speech analytics, because the call comes over voice over IP digitally, so you can take that information and you can easily know, is it just one rep, Shazia, who's having this problem? That means I need to go and train her. Again, it starts with a business problem. What problem are you trying to solve? So if you want to improve your IVR experience, or you want to find out who are the members that are applying a loan through the online mobile channel, but they never complete the transaction, and you want to understand what and why caused them, so you can take an action to make them complete that transaction. Right. So it all starts with the business problem, because the technology piece of it, because in this API open architecture, it's out there and you can really go and find it very easily. Some of these use cases took several thousand dollars. It's not millions of dollars, right? So you can solve the technology piece of it. Just find the problem, and then if you know the problem is worth solving for, what action are you going to take? Oftentimes, that's where probably credit unions are not we're not good in asking those questions, what problems you want to solve for, and then if I had the answer, am I going to take the action? And then you can find out, okay, what do I need to do? Obviously, for a big data analytics problems, has to be data-rich problem. That means you have to ask yourself, do I have the data? Now, data may not be all nicely packaged and curated. It never will be, right? When you have different systems and different partners, vendors, so on and so forth. But it exists somewhere. So if you start with digital channel or digital type of modes, you know data exists. It may not be in your own wheelhouse, but it might be with your provider, your partner, or in some Excel sheet, it sits there. So there's just different tips you can, and I kind of went on some of those very practical, easy to deploy type of things. And I think that brought it back home, that this is not a rocket science. And you don't have an option. It's a global competitive advantage.
Well, that was my next question, is like, what do you tell credit unions? Like, oh, I don't need this right now. That's still kind of pie in the sky type of stuff, you know? I mean, but you just kind of hit that. Like, you need it, or else you're going to get left behind?
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it, this digital revolution, right? We are all in different places in that maturity curve, right? Some are just sitting up and paying attention to it now. Some probably paid attention 2 years ago and just kind of crawling. Some are probably walking. I don't think any one of us are really full-fledged running quite yet. However, it's a journey. So you have to recognize that. I also talked about some of the business, the data maturity curve. There are different stages and what those really mean and some steps you have to kind of take on. It starts with the intention, number one. And I think people who are coming in and paying attention, they're going to go back with asking those right questions. The second thing would be investment, right? If you're not going to bet the whole farm, maybe we're going to do a couple use cases. Let's sit down and find out what are those business problems worth solving for, and if we were to solve it, what are we going to do with it? Do we have the data for it? And then finding the partners and the providers to be able to test and iterate and see from this, learn from those success. You know, fail fast, fail and learn fast. And then kind of grow around those maturity curve. But I don't think sitting there and waiting that it's not going to happen, it's a fiction of imagination. Because the world is moving fast. It's constantly going to change. So either you can ride, go with the flow, and then be part of being relevant and transforming, or you will be disrupted. So I think that's just how I kind of look at it.
What about people, in not so developed countries, you know, how did they kind of grasp this? How do they get their head around this?
Sure. Actually, they are, some of them are actually positioned quite well because they didn't have a lot of the big box legacy type of architecture systems.
So like kind of holding them back?
Yeah. So like look at Kenya. I mean, they're just going to leapfrog all of that, you know, and just kind of created their own with M-Pesa and some of those things. So they're moving actually bypassing the whole browser thing and moving directly to mobile.
Perfect.
Because cell phones are so highly. Mm-hmm. So and any of these analytics type of predictive analytics, machine learning, you know, all these things are all overlaying in some type of a digital and in the mobile sort of connected device world. And so I think their ability to bring those in would be much easier because they don't have to change the architecture, the infrastructure piece of it. Yeah. The other component probably would be from there, they have to kind of rely on, again, who are you serving today and who you want to serve to be able to grow the membership, because consumers are everywhere. You don't have to be in a point in place to be able to consume financial services
not anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, geography, and I shared that with my audience today too, that it's, you can buy things from anywhere, and this is one of the reason you see Amazon and Facebook and Google and a lot of the fintech are getting into the even Apple, you know, with their message way of P2P money sending. They're coming into there because they don't look at it, the payments and financial, to be a core thing. They kind of keep that invisible behind, and they provide the experience and the frictionless delivery of whatever they're delivering to be the prime important factor. Mm-hmm. And I think Simon at the keynote touched on it. It's really not about pushing the product or their own business. It's really, what is the impact? What is the value you're creating, right? Nobody gets up in the morning thinking, I'm going to do a financial transaction today, right? Yeah, I think we have to change that lens, whether it's a payment QSO or even provider. That's not about making bill payment happen. It's not about making an ATM transaction work or make the credit card go from point A to point B. What is the problem the member and the consumers are looking to solve? Mm-hmm. How do I connect to them at a very deeper emotional and a psychological way? And then build this delivery of the solution very seamlessly.
That sticks.
It's a different way of looking. Yeah. So Simon's message definitely resonated that point.
I was backstage just taking notes like, oh my gosh, he's speaking our language. Hey, I want to give you guys a plug, and thank you very much, by the way, for supporting us, the Studio Lounge here in Vienna.
Services. Very grateful to be here. Yeah.
Thank you. And I want to wrap up, give you guys a plug. What are you guys doing in this area?
A lot.
What you talked about.
A lot. Obviously, you know, I talked about speech analytics. We've done build our own proprietary model for member attrition, who are the members are likely to leave a credit union, who are today very engaged, but in the next 6 to 12 months, they're our predictor of attributes that they will leave. We are deploying it. We're doing a ton of work around fraud, fraud authentication, enrollment, and monitoring those behavioral patterns of leveraging like biometrics and machine learning algorithm to really authenticate and enroll transaction. We are looking at transaction scoring, our own proprietary type of modeling score. So if I'm Vienna and Shazia used her credit card in the cafe here, I cannot be at a shared branching doing transactions. So it's all leveraging the predictive analytics and the machine learning type of principles of really knowing who they are and what they're doing in relation to their frequency and locale. It's all really about mining the data. So there's a lot of things we're doing, and again, all from the notion of seamless and secure delivery of product services.
Is this fun or what?
It is fun. It's really an exciting times because of the exponential technology and the pace of innovation, but it's also an opportunity, right, to really reinvent yourself over and over again. So we are kind of on that path as well.
Right on. Yeah. Shazia, it is always so much fun to talk to you. Again, you have the most energy of anybody I know, so thank you for coming out and closing up our coverage of Woku's conference in a big way. So thank you very much. Wonderful. Well done.